I didn't speak yet about Parsha Zohar. We have in the end of Parsha's Kiseitze, Zohar is Yasalocha Amolek, so the Chacham made a takana that the Shabbos before Purim is Parsha Zohar. The Gemara says, a Braisa in the Gemara, it's really a Sifrei on the Pasuk, Zohar Bepeh. Zohar means Lahazikir, not to remember, to mention, to speak about it. Yochel Beleid, maybe it just means you should keep in mind, you should think about it. Tamaloy Maloy Sishkach, the last phrase in that paragraph, that's the maftir of Shabbos Parshas Kiseitze. So the last two words are Loy Sishkach, Harei Belei Voma, Amani Mekayim Zohar. So Zohar is Bidbe. Zohar is Bidbe. How are Yoytze Parshas Zohar? The Balkari lanes. We don't lane, so we assume that Shemei Koina, everybody's Yoytze with Shemei Koina. Some people had a practice that Parshas Zohar is Daraisa, so you have to say along with the Balkari. What do you gain by saying along with the Balkari? Shemei Kaina is perfect lechatchila. Kiddush is also a din deraisa. Zohar is Yom Shabbos lekatchai. Zohar means bepeh. You should mention Kiddush Hashem, and everybody relies on Shemei Kaina. What's the problem? What might be a problem is if the Balkari already laid Parsha Zohar in the Hashkama minion, then he's going to lay in the second time. So he was already Yoytze the first time. So we have a klal in the Gemara. Yotza Moitze, even though he was Yotze already, he can still lane a second time. We should have really said that he can't lane a second time, because the Mishnah has in Rosh Hashanah, in the end of the third parak, Mishenim B'chui B'dover, and Emotzi Asarabim V'der Chayvosin. A Kotlin can't be the Balkori to him. He Moitze the Tzibu with Parsha Zohar, because he's not Mechuyev on the level of the Raisa. He's not a B'chui B'dover, can't be Moitze. So the one already was Yotze Parsha Zohar, he heard by the Hashkama minion. How can he lane by the second minion? So Rashi explains on the Gemara, Yotza Moitze, because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zabazes, it calls man that there's one Jew left in the world, in Indonesia, or wherever, in Australia, wherever, there's one Jew in the world who wasn't Yotza Parsha Zohar yet, so he's still Mechiv to lane Parsha Zohar, if that'll help somebody else. And that'll help, the other person will be able to be Yotza with Shemei Kain. So there's a famous Shagas Aryeh. A lot of the Shagasaris have been accepted, and some of them have not been accepted. So the Shagasari has a wild chiddush. He thinks that Yotza Moitzi only works on Dinim Derabbanan, doesn't work on Dinim Derais. That this is a pshetl. Kol Yisrael Arev Mizeh Bezen calls man that there's one Jew in the end of the world who didn't hear Parsha Zohar yet. There's one Jew in the world who didn't hear Tkir Shofar yet, so I'm still mechuyev to blow Shofar. If it'll help him, it will help. He'll be able to be Yotza with Shemei Koina. So the Shagasari thinks that on the level of their Isa, that's a pshetel that doesn't work. It only works for Mea Koilus. If you want to hear Mea Koilus. So the second day, Rosh Hashanah is only the Rabbanah. But on the first day, Rosh Hashanah, for the basic Tkiyas, it doesn't work. Ayde Gemara says, Yotza Moitzi by Kiddush. So he says, if you look at Rashi and that Gemara, at the end of the third pairing Rosh Hashanah, Rashi says he was saying Kiddush on Yontif. How did Rashi know the story was on Yontif? Maybe it was on Shabbos. It doesn't say. Just because it's a Maseches Rosh Hashanah, so it means it was happened on Rosh Hashanah, happened on... No, not necessarily. So the Shagzari says, Rashi obviously thinks that Kiddush on Yontav is only the Rabban. Kiddush on Shabbos is the Raisa, Kiddush on Yontav is the Rabbanon. That's a Machlokes HaRishayim. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos, the end of Hilchos Shabbos, writes, Kiddush on Shabbos is the Raisa. And he says, Kiddush on Yontav is also the Raisa, Shikulam, Shabbos Hashem Hema, because it says by Sefiras Hayim you start counting Mochas HaShabbos. Mochas HaShabbos doesn't mean Sunday. Mochas HaShabbos means first day Chol Hamoed Pesach. So not only the first day Yom Tov Pesach is called Shabbos, Shavuos and Sukkos and Shemini Atzeres is also called Shabbos. Kulam Shabbos Hashem Hema. So every din on Shabbos carries over to Yom Tov. Magen Mishnah comments on that Rambam that not everybody agrees with the Rambam that Kiddush on Yom Tov is the Raisa, maybe only Kiddush on Shabbos. What carries over from Yom Tov to Shabbos is the definition of melacha. Which are the melacha? So you have many times, but you had in Parshas Vayakel, you had in Kisisa, you had a few times in the Torah that melacha Shabbos is defined by the Mishkan. And on the first daf in Bava Kama, based on Menal. Achdav b'Mishkan chashiv b'kor eliyah, because in the Chumash it's like that. How do you know what's the definition of melacha on Yom Tov? So that we assume you carry over from Shabbos to Yom Tov. Do you carry over everything from Shabbos to Yom Tov? Tchumen. There's a machlokes hatanoim. Rabbi Akiva's opinion that Tchumen alpay mama is the Raisa. And the Gemara says we don't hold like Rabbi Akiva. So nonetheless, the Rambam and the Rif is the end of the first Perek in Erevin, the Rambam and the Rif quote from the Yerushalmi that Chum and Yud Beis Mil is their Eisim. Is it their Eisim even on Yontef? Maybe it's only their Eisim on Shabbos. Al Yetzi Ish Mim Koma, maybe that's only on Shabbos. So the Rambam holds that Chumin is only the Rabbanan even on Yom Kippur. That's a Machloikis. But if you hold Chumin is only their Eisim on Shabbos, not on Yontef, what about Yom Kippur? Is Yom Kippur their Eisim? So I think the Rambam holds that Yom Kippur is also only the Rabbanan. Only Shabbos is their Eisim. And others disagree. Rashi says in other places, it says everybody should eat Korban Pesach, and then in the morning they need lina, yaton lina, and then in the morning you can go home. What do you mean the morning is yantav? How can you go home? The guy lives in Golan. How can you again go chutz l'tchum? So Rashi says it goes b'kasheni, panisav abok v'halachta lo alecha. You go home on the first day chalamah, not the morning of yantav Pesach in the morning, because you can't go chutz l'tchum. Rashi and Tosfos in a different place. Rashi and Tosfos hold that if you hold Chumin is deraisa, it carries over to Yontav as well. That's a shaila, whether everything from Shabbos carries over to Yontav are all in the definition of the Melachos. Let's say Shvisas Behemto. This is special day on Shabbos in Aseres Adibros. You're not allowed to let your goyish and next door neighbor use your animal to do Melach on Shabbos. That's an Isish. I'm in violation. Shri says, Bamta, if I know the neighbor, I gave permission to the neighbor to use my behemoth to plow with it, so that's my avera. Behemoth, the neighbor is a non-Jew. He's allowed to do whatever he wants, but it's my avera, Shri says, Bamta. So that's a question. Does Shri says, Bamta carry over to Yontav? So the Ramon, Hilchas Yontav, says no. Shri says, Bamta does not apply. So that's one big shaila, whether only the malachas carry over to Yontav. All the dinim of Shabbos carry over to Yontav. There was a machlokes hatanoim why was Havara singled out in the beginning of Parshas Vayakel. There were 39 malachas, so when it says not to do malach on Shabbos, why does it mention Havara? So one tana is of the opinion, we don't pass like that, one tana is of the opinion, Havara lalav yotzas. Havara was singled out, that on the other 38 malachas there's chorus and there's misa, but on Havara it's only alav, there's no chorus and there's no misa. So we don't pass like that. So there's a thesis in the beginning of Psochim where the Gemara says Shmaminov in the Brisa that the Tana thinks Havor Lalav Yotzes. Where do you see from the Brisa? What did Rabbi Akiva say in the Brisa that leads you to believe Havor is Lalav Yotzes? The thesis has one interpretation that if you hold Havor Lalav Yotzes, so it's Mutar on Yontav. There are only 38 Malachas. Havor is a different Issa and it doesn't apply to Yontav at all. So the fact that Rabbi Akiva is commenting on the pasuk, "Ach b'yom rishon tashbisu sa'or mipatechem," so he says, "How do you translate yom rishon? The first day yontif, you can't burn the chametz on the first day yontif. Matzina lahavor shehiav malacha. You're not allowed to burn the chametz on yontif. So must be b'yom rishon means erev Pesach. The word rishon in biblical Hebrew doesn't always mean first. The word achron doesn't always mean last. Rishon sometimes means prior, and achron means latter. So that's Rabbi Akiva says that. So the Gemara says." You see, first of all, that he holds Ein Bir Chametz Ela B'Sreifa. If you hold Hashbasasa B'Chol Dover, so what is he worried about? Matzin El Havara Shei Amalach. So don't do Havara. And then also, Shmamina, that he thinks Havara, he doesn't agree with the Tana Havara Lalav Yotzes. How do you see he doesn't agree? So Tosfos has one shot. If the din would have been Havara Lalav Yotzes, it wouldn't be a Malacha. It would have been Mutar An Yontif. The only things that carry over from Shabbos to Yontav are malachas. Malachas means those that are chayiv koris and misa. If avor is lalav, so it'll be heter gomer on Yontav. So that's a big issue. Is that so? That the only carry over from Shabbos to Yontav, the malachas, or do you carry everything else over? So the Shagasari has this wild chiddush that has not been accepted. He claims that according to Rashi, you can only say Yotze Moitzi on Yontav because Rashi holds like that opinion that Kiddush on Yontav is only the Rabbanon, and on the Rabbanon you say Yotze Moitzi. But on a real Din Deraisa, we wouldn't say Yotze Moitzi. So on Kiyah Shoif, on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, if the Baal Tegeh already was Yotzim Shul, he goes to the hospital to blow for the patient, it doesn't help. Ma'isim B'chol Yom, every Rosh Hashanah, we do it all the time. So obviously we have not accepted this wild Kiddush of the Shagasar. We hold that it's a real Din Deraisa. Yotze Moitzi is a real Din Deraisa. So it's not a problem, even if the Balkori already lained Parshat Zoch and the Hashkama Minyan, he lains again the second Minyan, that's not a problem. The Gemara Megillah, when they quote the Brisa from the Torah, from the Sifrei, and the end of Parshas Kisetze, that Zachor is bepeh, not belev. So the Brisa also learns out that it has to be mitoch haksav. You're not yotzev, he's just recited balpeh. You have to lay mitoch haksav. Does it have to be with a minion? That doesn't say in the Gemara. That's not in the Gemara. In the Shulchan Aruch, the Magen Avraham quotes that from the Trumas Hadesh, and he derived that from a rush. There is a Gemara in Maseches Brochas, tells the story. Abelezer came to Shul, and there were only 9 people, and he needed a 10th man for the minion. So he was Meshachar Hezebed in order to be Metzar of him to the minion. So Tosfos raises an issue. To daven with a minion, the whole requirement for a minion is probably only midirabbanan. That you need a minion for davar shebikdusha is probably only midirabbanan. You need a minion for nikdash to besoch b'nei Yisrael toch. Has the connotation of asara. That's a real din deraisa. That's for yehorig v'alyaver. That if the nochri wants to, he threatens to kill me unless I'm a chal shabbos. So if it's b'farhesia, then you have to give up your life. If it's not b'farhesia, it's not b'shas hashmad. Then you say pikoch nefesh is doicha. If it's b'farhesia, then you say yehorig v'alyav. So farhesia is defined as asara. So that's a real din deraisa. B'nikdash to besoch b'nei Yisrael. Toch b'nei Yisrael has the connotation of a asara. And v'nikdash digoz on kiddush Hashem. But when they get to requiring a minion for Dov Shebikdusha to say Kaddish Kedusha Bochu, that's probably only the Rabbanon Alpi Pashtas. So Tosis raises an issue. Meshachar Avdoi is over Be'ese. It says Le'olam Ha'em Tavoda. That's a real Isser. So the Gemara asks, how is Rav Lezer permitted to be Meshachar the Eved? He violated an Isser. Gemara says, no, but he needed him for the minion. But the whole minion is only with the Rabbanon, so you're allowed to violate a din deraisa. There's a conflict between a real din deraisa and a din derabbanon. So you're allowed to violate a din deraisa in order to fulfill a mitzvah with the Rabbanon. So that's what Tosis is wondering. So Tosis says this comes up lahalacha. If someone died every day of the year, there are people dying who never died before. So if someone dies on the last day, Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, and you bury him on the same day. A person dies on Yom Tov Sheni, say bury on the Amimim. On the first day Yom Tov, bury on the Amimim, Ayde Nachrim. On the second day Yom Tov, if need be, you can bury even on Ayde Yisrael. So let's say someone dies on the last day Yom Tov Sheni, the very last day. Chalamoid also. There's no Avela. So let's say someone dies on the second day Shavuos, around Simchas Torah, around the last day of Pesach, Achron Shel Pesach, the last day of Pesach. It's not even Chol HaMoed then. So if the Kvura took place on the same day, so according to the opinion of the Mechaber and the Rambam and the Gaonim and the Rif, Avela's Yom Rishon is Deraisa, if it's Yom HaMisa VeHakvura. But whenever Avela's is in conflict with Simchas Yom Tov, so Simchas Yom Tov takes precedence. The Gemara says, why? Because Simchas Yom Tov is an essay de Rabbim, and Avelis is essay de Yochid, also essay de Rabbim, but also essay de Yochid. But the question is that always the case? The Simchas Yom Tov and the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias is only mid de Rabban, it's not even Chalamoid. On the level of the Reis, it's after the second day Shavuot, so the eighth day Pesach, or the ninth day of Sukkot. Simchas Torah, it's Menat Torah, it's not a Yom Tov at all. So you have a conflict between Esed de Yochid and Esed de Rabbin, but the Esed de Rabbin is only with the Rabbanon. The Esed de Yochid is Menat Torah, according to the Rif and the Ramam and the Mechaber and the Goyim. The Ravilis and Rishon is the Raisa of Yom HaMisa B'Hakvura. So would you say that a Din de Raisa always takes precedence over a Din de Rabbanon? So that's what they say. The Bahag writes like that, Mechaber Paschal like that, the very end of Yeridaya, that if a person dies and is buried on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, on the last day Yom Tov, that the relatives have to observe Avelis even though it's Yom Tov, because Avelis Amrishon is Deraisa, and Simcha Yom Tov is only the Rabbanon, and you never have a situation where a mitzvah Derabbanon is Deucha a mitzvah Menator. So Tosfos says, but he have it over here, that Rabbi Lezer was Meshachar his Eben in order to be Mashlem him to a minion. So the whole need for the minion for Dov Shebikdusha is only with the Rabbanon. So the Rosh quotes this, Bikitza. That's a machlekes, a mechaber and a Rama. The Rama paskins that all avelus is derabbanan. All avelus derabbanan. So that's why by Ashkenazim they're both on the level of rabbanan. Simchas Yom Tov on the last day Yom Tov is only derabbanan. Avelus Yom Rishon, even if it's Yom HaMisa VaKvura, Ashkenazim hold that it's only the Rabbanon, so they're both on the same level, both the Rabbanon. So also Yesid the Rabbim, the Doche Yesid the Yochid. And the Mechaber holds Avilus Ambrishin is there, right? And so on. So the Rush quotes this Bekitza, this argument. Then he says, unless you tell me that the Maaseh Shehaya was on Parsha Zohar, unless he really needed a minyan for a din deraisa, maybe he was mishachar the eved, which is not allowed min haTorah, in order to have a minyan for Parsha Zohar. So that's where the Rosh throws in such a line. So the Trumas Magen Avraham in Hilchas Purim quotes the Trumas Adeshin, who says he see from the Rosh Hachidush, which doesn't really say in the Gemara. The Gemara says you have to lay mitoch haksav, but another says in the Gemara that you have to lay kriyas haTorah ba'asara. So that's the Rosh implies like that. Yeah, but what do you lay in Parsha Zohar? Usually lay on Shabbos. So you're allowed to be Meshachar and Eved Kenani on Shabbos. How are you Meshachar and Eved Kenani? How are you Meshachar and Eved Kenani? There's no Isser of Mekach or Memkar. No Gzeir Hashem Yichtov. Normally you write a Shtar Shichar. Either by the Akeset or Yidei Shichar. How is he Meshachar David? How is he Meshachar Eved Kenani on Shabbos? That's what they talk about. There's a din. You're not allowed to be Mekadosh and Isha on Shabbos. That's a Mishnah in the end of Beitza. Then Tosis quotes a Tosefta on the margin, on the side. They write in the Masoros HaShas, we don't have this line in the Tosefta. But Tosis quotes a Girsa in the Tosefta there, the end of Beitza, a Megarshim b'Shabbos. There's an Isha Derabban, and you're not allowed to divorce your wife on Shabbos. Same thing, Zerishem Yichtav. It's part of Mekach HaMemkar. So to be Meshachar and Eved should also be like a Megarshim. You're giving away your wife, you're giving freedom to your wife, she can go marry whomever she wants. You can't write a get on Shabbos, that's for sure, but the get was written Erev Shabbos. Is there anything wrong with giving the get on Shabbos? The Tosis claims that there's a Tosefta that it's not allowed. So it should be ought to be the same to be Meshach and Eved Kenani. How can the Rosh raise such a possibility? Unless it was Parsha Zohar and he needed Parsha Zohar Yelein on Shabbos. The Rosh is suggesting a possibility to interpret that the Reb Lezer was Meshachar the Eved on Shabbos. So that's a big discussion. Reb Menachem Zemba has a discussion on that. Menachem Zemba was friendly with the son-in-law of the Or Sameach. His name was Reb Avraham Luftbeer. He was a businessman. But he knew how to learn nicely. So he never had any children. And after he passed away, the Or Sameach only had one daughter. She died without any children. And then he died. He had never had any children. So after he died, they printed a sefer. He had different Torahs. So someone put it in alphabetical order, each Dvar Torah, and they put it out, Zer Avraham. There should be B'mokam children. And then Rabbi Menachem Zemba lived in a different city, but they knew each other, so they used to correspond in Dvar Torah. Menachem Zemba's letters are very strong. Rabbi Avraham Luftbeer's letters are strong. Not as strong. What he has that Rabbi Menachem Zemba doesn't have, every so often he'll quote a Dvar Torah from the Or Sameach that's not printed anywhere else. So he had access, he married the Or Sameach's daughter. So Menachem Zemba put out a sefer also called Zer Avram. This should be B'mokam children, that he never had any children. So Rabbi Menachem Zemba suggests maybe there's a difference between the Megarish your wife and be Meshachar and Eved. Maybe Megarish your wife, that's a Kenyan, and that's included in the Mecca and Memke. You're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. Maybe to be Meshachar Eved Kenani, maybe somehow that it is Mutter on Shabbos. That's what it perhaps appears from the Rosh, as if it's Mutter be Meshachar and Eved on Shabbos. How many times in your lifetime am I Mechiv to learn Parsha Zohar? So the Sefer Chinuch writes, maybe once in a lifetime. Maybe once every couple of years, he doesn't know. Or maybe it's even as the Chachamim were Mesakin once a year, every year, that you lay in a Parsha Zohar. The fact that you lay in Parsha Zohar, the Shabbos before Purim, that's not Ben HaTorah. But he says maybe it's a real Din Deraisa, you have to lay once a year, every year. Why should that be Deraisa? So that's famous. The Chasam Sofer adds on to that suggestion of the Sefer Achinuch that the Gemara says in Eilam Metzias. That Stam Yiyush, a person lost an Aveda, we don't know if he's Messiah or not. So usually after Yud Beis Chodesh, people are Messiah. Or the Gemara says, when someone dies, so it's a Gzeira Alameis Shishtakech Ben Alev Acha Yud Beis Chodesh. Usually you forget about first year, you're still thinking about the Niftar, and after a year you forget. That's why the minig in many communities was that you put up a matzeva at the end of the Yud Beis Chodesh. So somehow the minute you put up the matzeva before the Yud Beis Chodesh are up, not to forget him. And somehow the minute you put it up davke after the Yud Beis Chodesh are up, Rabbi Kibbeger on Yeridei quotes the Tumen Hagim when they have Hilchas Kvura. So he writes, he quotes the sources. And others have the meaning davke after the Yud Beis Chodesh are up. So he already forgot the mace. Zera lameisha ishtakech ben alev lacha Yud Beis Chodesh. So he forgot him. So then you put up the matzeva to remember him. So the Sefer Chinuch suggests that maybe the obligation is taken once a year, every year, and the Chasam Sofer writes in the Shuvah, because Yud Beis Chodesh is the Shir Shikcha, and the Din is Lo Sishkach Zocha, you should remember. Yes, yeah, so that's the question. So what do you do if it's a Shana Muberes? So it's 13 months since the last time that you heard Parsha Zocha. So if you really hold that it's like the Sefer Chinuch said, once a year, every year, so then the later Achranim say, so when they lay in Parshas Kisetza, you have to have in mind, Parshas Kisetza always in the middle of the summer, the end of the summer. So you have to have in mind to be Yotze. If it's Shana Muberes, you have to have in mind to be Yotze in the middle. Okay. The Magen Avraham writes that if for some reason or another person missed the Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos Parshas Zohar, let him make sure that he goes to Shul on Purim. And when they lay in Vayava Amalek, and you can be Yotze with Vayava Amalek. So many later Achranim are not so convinced that the Magen Avraham is right, because in Vayava Amalek, in the end of Parshas Bishalach, it doesn't say Timche Ezech Amalek, it says Emche Ezech Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will wipe out Amalek. And the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs that the two different mitzvahs, one mitzvah is Zocher Shasach Amalek, one mitzvah is Timche Ezech Amalek. So the Rambam writes that the purpose of Zohar is in order to lead up to Timcha Zech Amalek. We learn about Amalek to remind us of the obligation that we have to wipe them out. So if you're going to learn Emche, you're going to learn Vayava Amalek at the end of Parshas Bishalach. So many Achrenim are not so convinced that the Magen Avraham is right. They be not Yotze, because that doesn't say what our obligation is. Our obligation is Timcha. Maybe only Yotze by learning Kiseitze. Maybe not Yotze by learning Parshas Bishalach. The Sefer Chinuch writes, when he writes this din of Zichron Amalek, so he says that the obligation is only on men. Women are not mechuyev, because women are not drafted into the army. Even if it's a mechemes mitzvah, like waging war against Amalek, women are never drafted into the army. And the whole purpose of Parsha Zohar is to remember that it should lead to melchama. So since the women are not mechuyev, and women are never drafted in the army, so maybe the women aren't mechuyev in Parshas Zohar. So the Menachas Chinuch says, how did the Sefer HaChinuch know to make up a new Chiddush? He thinks maybe it's a mitzvah seser shalaz magrama, maybe the women should be mechuyev. The Menachas Chinuch was a Galatiana, he has that Chiddush. Amnos Nadler, who was the Rebbe of the Chassam Sefer, also raised an issue. He thought, how did the Sefer HaChinuch know to say that women are potas in Germany? Because of Amnos Nadler, and a lot of the shuls, they have a second kriya for Parshas Zohar. Here in the neighborhood, they have, in some of the shuls, they have 5 minutes before Mincha, on Shabbos afternoon, on Shabbos Parshas Zohar. They're laying again Zohar for the women. They won't say a bracha. They're laying it for the women, whoever missed it in the morning, because the women have little babies, and the husbands went to shul, so the women didn't hear. Reb Chaim Kanievsky has a sefer, I think it's called Taima Dikro, it's on Tanakh. He has sharp comments on Tanakh. So after his mother passed away, he put out another edition, the fifth edition, sixth edition, whatever, of the Sefer Taima Dikro. And then because his mother passed away, so he wants to quote things that he heard from his mother. His mother was a sister of the Chazon Ish. So he writes things that he heard from his mother in the name of her brother, the Chazon Ish. So one of the things is that he once told the sisters, Chazon Ish's family, I think there were 12 or 13, he didn't have any children, but his parents had something like 12 or 13 children, and all the boys were Talmid Chacham, they were all Rabbanim, and all the girls were married Talmid Chacham. So on one occasion, the Chazon Ish told the sisters that all year long the women are not mechuyev in Kriyas HaTorah, and Parshas Zohar, the din is like it says in Sefer HaChinuch, not like the Minchas Chinuch and not like Amnas Nadler. And if all year long they don't go to shul, they're not mechuyev to go to shul on Parshas Zohar either. that no special chiyuv for the women. He assumed, like the Sefer Achinah, that women are not mechuyev. Women are not mechuyev. There is a Gemara in Brachas at the beginning of the second parak, where the Gemara says that when a person performs a mitzvah and he forgot to say a bracha, the bracha is not miyakev. That's a person put on tefillin and he forgot to say a bracha, puts on talis, forgot to say a bracha. So the Gemara gives the rationale, a person is mafish trumas and maisis and he didn't say a bracha. That's, the Gemara says it commenting on the Mishnah. There's a Mishnah in the beginning of Trumas, says Chamisha lo yitrom avim torma ein trumas and truma. There are five people, they're not allowed to be mafish truma, and even b'dieved it's not chal. So three of them are cherishoy to the cotton, because Allah b'nei das, and then atorim she'enu shaloi. And then the Mishnah has other people, lachatchila, they shouldn't be mafish truma, but b'dieved it is chal. So one of them is orum. Every person is not dressed, so you can't say a bracha. He can be mafish truma, but he can't say a bracha. So if it'll be mafish truma, it'll be chal, but it's not right to be mafish without a bracha. But you see, derech agab, that if he mafish without a bracha, that frosh is chal. So the Gemara explained, how come the hafrosh is chal? Why shouldn't you say that the bichas ha-mitzvah is mi'akeves? So the Gemara says it can't be mi'akeves. Logic dictates the bichas ha-mitzvah can't be mi'akeves, because the mitzvah is deraisa and the bracha is only mi'derabbanan. So on the level of deraisa, there is no such thing as a bichas ha-mitzvah. Some achrayim claim that when the Yerushalmi there's a mashmoes, that bichas ha-mitzvah is deraisa. Just like bichas ha-toyra, the Babli is mashma and davchav that bichas haTorah is deraisa. So Yerushalmi says they have a hekesh between HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us haTorah v'haMitzvah. So just like there's a din of bichas haTorah min haTorah, maybe there's a din of bichas haMitzvah min haTorah as well. So that's what some claim according to the Yerushalmi. Bichas haMitzvah is always deraisa, but the Babli is beferish not so. Babli is beferish that bichas haMitzvah is only the Rabbanan. So the Gemara says, how can you say that the bracha is mi'akev and the mitzvahs? If the bracha is only with the Rabbanan, the mitzvah is minatar, of course it's not miyak. So there's a Tosfei HaRosh on that Gemara on brachas. But the Tosfei HaRosh says, from the Gemara it would appear that if you were to have a mitzvah with a bichas ha-mitzvah would be deraisa, then it would be miyakim, because the whole argument to prove that the bracha is not miyakim in the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is deraisa, the bracha is the Rabbanan. But if you were to have a mitzvah with a bichas ha-mitzvah would be deraisa, then it should come out that it is miyakim. So the Prima Godim writes, here you have a mitzvah with a bracha is deraisa, bichas haTorah is deraisa. So you have a mitzvah once a year, every year, to lain parsha zachar. So if you lain parsha zachar without a bracha, you're not yoytzim. That's how the Prima Godim suggests. So obviously, Rabbi Chana Vasseman never didn't look in Prima Godim. So he corresponded with the Kovne Rav, the Dvar Avraham. He was the last rabbi in Kovne before the Second World War. He learned in Valozhin, by Rab Chaim Valozhin. He was a descendant of, he learned by Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. I mean, he was a descendant. He was Mibeser Rab, he was a descendant of Rab Chaim Valozhin. And he learned in Valozhin by Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. And every so often in Shuvas, he quotes something from Rab Chaim Soloveitchik that he heard in the yeshiva. So he had a correspondent. He died in the middle of the war before they had a chance to kill him. He died in the ghetto because the conditions were so unsanitary. So many people died before the Nazis had a chance to kill him. So he had a correspondence with Rabbi Chana Vasseman. So Rabbi Chana Vasseman wrote to him, how come we never came across in any pesek that anyone should say that the Brichas HaTorah should be miyakeh by Parsha Zoch? What do you mean never came across? Prima Godim, on the spot, where it belongs. It's not a Bikiyah somewhere else. Obviously he didn't look in the Prima Godim. So he has a whole discussion. How come it's not accepted? How come no one ever said it? But that's usually in the yeshivas. They make an announcement. Everybody should have a mind to be yotzi parsha zachar. Everybody should have a mind to be yotzi the bracha. Because there's a svarit to say like the Prima Godim, that brichas haTorah is deraisa. And if you fulfill the mitzvah of parsha zachar without saying the bracha, going to this Tosfei HaRosh, that the bracha would be miyakev. The whole rationale why brachas are not miyakev, because it can't be. The bracha is the rabbanan, the mitzvah is deraisa. But if you have a brichas haTorah, that's deraisa, so then maybe it is miyakev.
Even if you're reading the brichas haTorah in the morning, assuming that it's only when it's deraisa is on the
waning? Right, that's a big further discussion. When you say brichas haTorah is deraisa, means when you're laning kriyas haTorah is deraisa, But the Birchas HaTorah for the Yochid, when everybody wakes up in the morning and says Birchas HaTorah, that's only the Rabbanan. But he's saying, no, Birchas HaTorah. He did say Birchas HaTorah in the morning. He didn't say Birchas HaTorah when they have the second Kriyas HaTorah for the women. He didn't say a bracha then. So you say the Birchas HaTorah, Bishas Kriyas HaTorah, B'tzibur is the Raisa. So that's what some claim, the Torah's refoil. Before Valojiner was the son-in-law of the Netziv, and he was the father-in-law of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik. Chaim Soloveitchik married the daughter of Rabbi Fol Valojiner. So he put out a Sefer Torah's refoil. So he has a whole argument that Birchas HaTorah is only deraisa b'tzibur, when you learn b'tzibur, not b'yoch. That's a question.
Can that be why the other rush would require a minyan for Parsha Zachar? For this reason, because it's only Daraisa with the Tzibor, so it's not Maki of the Mitzvah?
The rush seems to imply that Parsha Zachar needs a minyan. Min HaTorah, yeah. Now it's the question, is there really a din that every time you learn Kriyas HaTorah with Tzibor, you have to have a bracha? Or the bracha is, you said a bracha in the morning, and it covers the whole day. We usually assume Birchas HaTorah is Daraisa in the morning. That's how Mishnah Berurah quotes the Shagasari has a tshuva. Said if you're Mesupik, if you said Birchas HaTorah in the morning, you got to say again. Because Birchas HaTorah Daraisa. You don't have to say all the three brachas. Lasik with the Resur, then Haravna, and Asha Bachamaran Kolam. You have to say all three. So say one. Three is only the Rabbanan. One of them should be Daraisa, one of them should be Daraisa. But that's the question. Maybe it's only the Raisa for the Yochid, not for the Tzibah. Maybe it's only B'Tzibah, not B'Yochid. That's a further discussion. The Rambam quotes the Dinim that you have to wipe out the Zayin Umis, Achrim Tachrimim. And he says that Nitzah no longer applies B'Zman Hazek, Kvar Ovat Zichrom, there no longer any Zayin Umis because Basan Cheret Bilbalas Kol Ha'alam Kulay. So you can't identify who are the Zayin Umis. So the Sefer Achinuch holds that the same applies to Amalek, that there's no Amalek b'zman hazeh. Bosan chevet bilbul es kol am kuloi. So no nationality is considered kvar rabat zichrom. So there is no nationality that has the status of Amalek. The problem is that the Rambam never said that. The Rambam only says it by the Zayin Umis. He's writing on the same page. He never wrote it by Amalek. So that's why Rab Soloveitchik used to say the name of his father and sometimes say the name of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik, that Amalek is not restricted only to the... Amalek was the son of Eliphaz ben Esav. Amalek, to wipe out Amalek, is not only that nation. Any nation that adopts as its policy to wipe out the Jewish people, but lo yori elekim, and the atheists, if the atheists... there were a lot of Christians, they made holy wars against the Jews, but they believed in God. And there were Muslims made holy wars against the Jews, but the Nazis were atheists. So that's why Rab Soloveitchik thought that according to what he heard from his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, and he said it b'shem Rav Chaim Soloveitchik like that, that any nation that adopts a policy to kill the whole Jewish people, and the atheists also, below Yor Elakim, they have the din of Amalek. That's why the Rambam never said a kvarav at zichrom, because the din applies even bizman hazeh. So when this Rab Soloveitchik said it, I remember I was a little boy, and the day school in Philadelphia only went to the fifth grade, so my parents had to send me to New York to stay by my grandparents to go to Yeshiva Ketana from the sixth grade on. And I was always homesick, and I didn't like, I was always making fun of my grandmother, the way she spoke a Galatiana Yiddish, and I didn't like the way she cooked food. I was always complaining about it. So my father had to come every other week or so to take me back home to Philadelphia to have normal food and to see the rest of the family. So I remember on one occasion we were going to go back. I would miss school on Friday. My father would take me back on a Thursday night, so I missed school on Friday. So once on a Thursday night, Rabbi Soloveitchik was speaking for the Mizrahi, and if my father would pick me up by my grandparents after Rabbi Soloveitchik's talk, we would miss the last bus going back to Philadelphia. So my father took me to hear Rabbi Soloveitchik speak, and then we went to get the bus, and we made it. So that's Bimikret. So that talk was about, there was a big debate in the Knesset at that time. That's when the German government offered reparations money to Medina Israel. So there was a big debate in the Knesset, is it proper to take the reparations money? So Rabbi Soloveitchik was asked to talk about that. So he said he doesn't think it's right. And later on he printed his position. He said he doesn't think it's proper. First of all, we will give the Germans the mistaken impression that all will be forgiven if they pay the reparations money, and that's not right. We have no right to forgive the murderers for the fact that they killed others, but they didn't kill us. We're surviving. They killed other people. We have no right to convey such a mistaken impression. And then he said, secondly, he thought, based on what he heard from his father, his grandfather, that any nation that's lo yori alekim, the atheists, they don't believe in God, they want to wipe out the entire Jewish people, they have a din of Amalek, so he thought that the Germans had a din of Amalek. And even though the German government now is offering the money, they're not Nazis, they're Germans. He thought it's all the same. And we're not allowed to take, not only that's a question, when Shaul HaMelech, when we have the Haftorah for Shabbos Parsha Zohar, so you read from the Novi, from Sefer Shmuel, that Shmuel HaNovi instructed Shaul HaMelech that he has to wage war, kill the men, the women, and children, and not to take anything from Amalek, not to take the behemoth either. So that's a machlokes HaTanoim in the Mechilta. Was that a Heroa Shoah in the days of Shaul HaMelech, or was that a Din L'Doris? So Rav Soloveitchik assumed that that's a din l'doris, that you're not allowed to take anything from Amalek. So he thought that you're not even allowed to take the money that they stole from the Jews. Not allowed to take the money back. They didn't even give it, with all their reparation money, they still didn't give back all the money that they stole. So he thought that it's a din of Amalek and you're not allowed to. So they printed this in the name of Rav Soloveitchik and he wrote it himself. That was his position. And then years later, they say that the Israeli government did take the reparations money and they used the money to pave the highways in Eretz Yisrael. So they say that Rabbi Soloveitchik later on said, apparently he was wrong, the fact that sometimes Ben HaShamayim, they passed Kanshailas. So he said the fact that the Israeli government really needed the money and then helped build up the Medina, made the highways, so maybe it shows Ben HaShamayim that he was wrong, that there was nothing wrong with taking the reparations money. But another 30 years later, they had in the newspapers that the highways were all made improperly and the government had to rip up all the highways. All the money went down the drain. They had to repave, they had to redo over again all the highways. So maybe it doesn't show that he was wrong.
The Rambam's comment about Sancheirav, is that saying there's no more national identity or that no one individual could be traced back to a nation?
It's a statement the Gemara has, that there was a Ger Amoni he converted, so the Shaila was, is he allowed to marry a Jewish girl? So the Tanoim said he's allowed to because Sancheirav Bilbalos Kol Olam Kula. So that's the question, what does it mean? After the days of Sancheirav, no one has a din of Amoni Mayovi, no one has a din of Mitzri Vadoimi and so on. Because of the fact that all the nationalities were all mixed up, but he's saying, no, each person is a Sufik, and just like Sufik Mamza is Mutar Min HaTorah, so too Sufik Hamoyne Mayavi is Mutar. Sufik Mamza is Mutar Min HaTorah, but also Mid Rabbanan. And over here, they never asked, some Rishonim say like this, I think the Rav Yos says, that Sufik Mamza is Mutar Min HaTorah, also Mid Rabbanan. Sufik Hamoyne Mayavi is Mutar Min HaTorah. It should have been also Mid Rabbanan also, but Roiv, since there's such a Roiv of so many other nationalities, so they never made a Chumra over here by Sufik Hamoyne. So that's a question. That the two suggestions are both possible. Either it means Halpidin, not in the nationalities, retain their status because Bosanchar Bilbil is Kolam Kuloi. Or means no. Whoever is an Amoni is whoever is a Amaleki is an Amaleki, but everyone is a Sufik, and Sufik Mamzer is Mutam and Atura, and they asked Mid Rabbanan. Here they never asked Mid Rabbanan because there's an overwhelming Roiv against it. They both pshatim are possible. Both pshatim are possible. A Sufik grusha is also menater. You don't say every Sufik mamzer is mutam menater. Sufik p'tzuadaka, most achrenim hold Sufik p'tzuadaka, and Sufik amani mayavi, all the psuli kohol. A Sufik is mutam menater, included in the drusha that Sufik mamzer is mutar. But a Sufik grusha l'kain is also menater. That's not just also menater. It's a difference. So that's Chiddush. The Sefer Chinuch writes, Kvar Obad Zichrom, he quotes it as if the Rambam said that. The Rambam writes the Loshan Kvar Obad Zichrom, but he only writes it on Zayin Umas. He never wrote it Benegir to Amalek. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said of from his father and his grandfather, that they felt that any nation that adopts as a policy to wipe out the Jewish people, and they're atheists, so they have the din of Amalek. They don't have to be necessarily biological descendants from Amalek, the son of Eliphaz ben Esav.
In terms of the gather that Soloveitchik spoke about Amalek, is there any other marker for the gather itself other than the Rambam's omission?
That is the whole Makkah. That is the whole Makkah. So there used to be Rabbi Soloveitchik. He had a cousin, Rabbi Yosher Ber Soloveitchik, in Yerushalayim. He passed away a long time ago. So he didn't like this. So they printed in his name, Dvar Melo Osela Omran Va Osela Shaiman. It's dead wrong, absolutely wrong. Can't be. There is no such thing. Amalek is only those who are biological descendants from the son of Eliphaz ben Esav. But they say that Talmidim of Rav Gusman published a few svarim in his name, things that he said. So he said that on one occasion, in the middle of the war, he was talking to Rav Chaim Moise. They were together on a Beznin of Vilna. He was on the Beznin as a teenager. He was very young, Rav Gusman. And so he was discussing with him, what does he say about the Nazis? So he quotes that Rav Chaim Moise said, I would tend to agree with the other Gdoli Hador who are of the opinion that the Nazis have a din of Amalek. He said the same thing. That is not only restricted to the biological descendants of Eliphaz ben Esav, any nation that adopts as a policy to wipe out the Jewish people. The Gemara in
the Sefer HaChinuch, when he says that women would not be obligated from Parshas Zachar, would he say that people that aren't roy to be in war would also not be chayv? Let's say an elderly man or
right, that's what Reb Shlomo Levilna has in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo. He has a table of contents, and then he tells you in two lines what the essay is going to be about. So he has one essay where he writes in the table of contents that he was going to explain. He was a Kohen, Shlomo Levilna, and his brother Betzal Levilna, they're both Kohanim. So he had an essay explaining why Kohanim can't be the Balkori for Parsha Zohar, because he can't draft Kohanim in the army because they're not allowed to be Metamei Lemesim. So whoever you can't draft in the army is like Noshim, that they're not Chayv in Parsha Zohar. Whoever's not Mechui B'dov, he can't be Motzi Asarai Medei Chayv Osim. So he writes it in one sentence, and he says, but I left it out because my brother told me it's dead wrong. His brother told him that it's not correct. Why is it not correct? So it could be because he doesn't write why. It could be because maybe Kohanim were drafted into the army, that there's a Mordechai in Kiddushin, Mordechai in Gittin, comments on the Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin, where the Kohen is mut to be a fastoyer. If fastoyer is a chiddush, that the girl is not Jewish, and you do a geris balkarcha on the girl, and still you're allowed to marry her. Normally, a geris bal korcha is not valid. So the Gemara has a suffix. What if the soldier who falls in love with this, what if the soldier is a kohen? So not only does he have an isa like any other Jew, not to marry a nochris, that's a heta, yefastoyer, but he has an added isa of a zayna, a gioris, a zayna asur lekohen. So do you say, just like the Torah allowed the regular soldier to take the ifastor, so the kohen is allowed to also? Maybe I should say no, by the kohen it's two averis, so the Torah was only matter one aver. So the Mordechai in Gittin points out from this Gemara Kiddushin, the sugi ifastor, you see that you do draft Kohanim in the army. This was an issue in the First World War. The Kohanim in England said they're not allowed to serve in the army because they're not allowed to be a Metamei Lemesim. So the chief rabbi was Rabbi Nathan Adler. He was a Yekke. I think he was about the same age as Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch, I think they say. He got smicha from Rabbi Yankee Vetlinger at this same time, I think. So they say that he had to give up psak. So he said, based on this Mordechai, that you do draft Kohanim in the army. It's against the Rambam. The Rambam writes that you don't draft the whole Shevet Levi into the army. Not only Kohanim are not drafted, Shevet Levi is not drafted in the army. It's a question. It says when they had Melchemes Midyan, so they had Elef Lamata, Shnei Maser Elef Chalutzei Tzavo. So Rashi says on the Parsha, how do you have Shnei Maser Elef? Because Shevet Levi also sent 1,000 soldiers. So Rashi says Elef Lamata says they're Kol, I think, in Parsha's Midyan. It says Kol. The Rashi says Shevet Levi also, they sent 1,000 soldiers. And the Rambam holds not so. That would have been 13,000. The Menashe and Ephraim each sent 1,000. You don't count Menashe and Ephraim as one Shevet Yosef. There are 2 Shvatim. So how come there are only 12,000 and should be 13,000? So the Rambam says because Shevet Levi was never drafted into the army. That's the international koilel of Klal Yisrael. Whoever learns in a koilel is not drafted into the army.
Some of the
Nitziv's
army. The Nitziv said there's 1 army of soldiers and 1 army of
Lamdanim. He'd be drafted into that. Okay. Yeah. The Nitziv came up with a new army, yeah. It's very difficult what the Sefer Chinuch wrote. Kvar Obad Zichrom. He writes as if the Rambam wrote on Molek. There is a Gemara in Psochim on Daf Mem Tes, where the Gemara comments on the Pasuk. What does it mean, Ushmoy Echod? So the Gemara has an expression, Loko Elamazah, Elamababo, Elamazah, Ani Nichta, Biyutke, Shem Hashem is written in Tanakh Yutke, Vavke, Ani Nikra, Ba Alav Dalit. You don't pronounce Yutke, Vavke, you pronounce it Alav Dalit, Nun Yud. But Ba Elamabo, they won't have 2 Shemas. Whatever has Yud Kei Vav Kei, we'll read it like that. Lo'ilam Mabo, Ani Nichta B'Yud Kei, Ani Nikra B'Yud Kei. So the Gemara says, when is that going to happen? The Pasuk says, Ki Yor Al Kei Sko, Melucham Al Shem Ma'amolek, Ein Hashem Sholem, Ve'ein HaKisei Sholem, Ad Shimach HaZara Shal Amolek. When Amolek will disappear, so then we will pronounce Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei. So if the Sefer Chinuch is right, at Kvar Ovad Zichram, so we should already pronounce Shem Hashem Yud Kei Vav Kei after Bos and Chavit Bilbil is called Olam Kul. We don't. Nobody pronounces Yud Kei Vav Kei. So we assume that Amalek has not yet been wiped out. Al Pi Pashtus. We don't assume like the Sefer Achinah. One of the prominent Rabbanim in Europe wrote a Sefer, Oinig Yontif. His name happened to be Yontif. His first name is Yontif. And he has in the Hakdamah, it's Shabbos and Shuvas, and he has in the Hakdamah a discussion of the Haftorah of Parsha Zohar. That Shaul HaMelech was instructed by Shmuel HaNovi to wipe out Amalek and to kill the behemoth. So he didn't kill the behemoth. So he confronts him and he says, I hear that the sheep are maying. You didn't kill the sheep. You didn't follow Tzivi Hashem. So Shalom Malach says, Kiyamti is Dvar Hashem. He says he did fulfill. What do you mean he did fulfill? So he says, the people started to grab the behemoths and they wanted to bring them as kambanas. So how does he think that he fulfilled it? He didn't observe it. So the Yontif explains, thank you. So the Yontif explains, there's one line there. Ki Aresi Es Ha'om. Ki Avarti Es Pi Hashem Es Dvarecha Ki Aresi Es Ha'om Eshma B'Koylom. I was afraid of the Tzibra. So he quotes, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, and the Rama quotes at the beginning of Hilchas Malachim, Gimel Mitzvahs, Nitztava Yisrael, Bichnisasim L'Oretz. When the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael, days of Yishuv Nun, they became obligated to fulfill 3 mitzvahs in a specific order. All learned that from Pesukim. First is Lahamed Lahamelech, to establish a Jewish government over all of Eretz Yisrael with a Melech. Lahach Rezara Shal Amalek, and after wiping out Amalek, Ki Aniach Hashem L'Chom, Mikol Avech Misav Ba'aretz, after you wipe out Amalek, then you have an obligation to build the base of Bechira. Calls man that it's not peaceful in Eretz Yisrael. There's no obligation to build the base of Bechira. I remember right after Mohammed Sheshet Hayamim, people were saying, we have to go start bringing Karbanos already. Rav Soloveitchik said he doesn't think there's a chiyuv to build a Beis HaMikdash yet. It wasn't yet fully peaceful. The Arabs were much more afraid of the Jews than they are now. The Arabs used to behave then. You could walk into Hebron by yourself. You didn't need any Livui Neshek. But still, it wasn't so. It was not yet peaceful in Eretz Yisrael. So the Oinik Yontif in the Hagdamah Sefer, Charles Jewish, he thinks Ki Aresi Asa'am is the key to the answer. Shaul HaMelech said, I lost my status as Melech when I was afraid of the people. Why? Because there's a Gemara in the first Perek in, I think it's a Yerushalmi, the first Perek in Horius. It's not a Gemara, it's a Yerushalmi. David HaMelech ran away for 6 months because he was afraid that his son was going to kill him. So the Yerushalmi says, Osam Shisha Chadoshim, that David was running away. If he would have been Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg, he wouldn't have to bring a Sawyer Nasi. Usually when the Melech does an Avera B'Shogeg, Sheyeshbo, Shezdono Koris, if a Yochid does an Avera B'Shogeg, Shezdono Koris, it should go as a Chatos, he has to bring a Chatos Kavua. So he brings a Kizbo Asira. But if it's the Melech who does it, that's the din of Sawyer Nasi, so he's Miskaper B'Bin. This Sa'ir, it's a Zohar, usually a Chatas and a Keva, Kizbo Asira. And if the Melech does, he has to bring a Sa'ir Nasi. So the Yerushalmi says, the Osam Shisha Chadoshim, that David was running away, he didn't have a Din Melech, and if he would be Mechal Shabbos B'Shogeg, it would be Miskapa B'Kizbo Asira. Because whenever the Melech is not in full charge, he's afraid for his life, and he's running away, he doesn't have a Din Melech. So that's what the Oneg Yontif interprets in the Haftorah. That Shaul HaMelech is faremfering himself. He's telling Shmuel HaNavi, I lost my status as Melech, ki aresi esa'am. I was afraid. And the din is, you have to do these three mitzvahs in order. Lahamid LaMelech, Allah Rezar Shal HaMelech, he lived in Islam Beis HaBchira. So the din to wipe out HaMelech is not the same as the Zaynumis. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Melochim, when you have a din Hachrim Tachrimim, by the Zaynumis, it's a Chovas Hariga. The Rambam says, if I'm walking down the block and I have a gun and I have the ability to kill one of the Zaynumis and get away with it, and I don't do it, Harei Zeh Bitul Mitzvos Aseh. It's not in the format of a Melchama. It's a din, a Chovas HaYochid, not a Chovas Melchama, Chovas HaTziv. Chovas HaYochid, if you see one of the Zaynumis, Hachrim Tachrim, and you have to kill him. But the Rambam never said that by a Molech. In the biographies of the Chasam Sofer, some of the students write that he once identified a person as an Amaleki. How can I identify as an Amaleki? The guy looks like an Amaleki. You know what an Amaleki looks like? I don't know what that means. He had the DNA of Amaleki. So he told them they should drown him in the mikveh. So they killed him. Is that correct, Alpidin? If it would be for the Zaynumis, there would be a din like that. But the Rambam says, Kvar Rabat Zichram. So obviously the Chasam Sofer holds, he don't say Kvar Rabat Zichram by the Amalekim, he identified the person. But the rest of the story that he had them kill him and drown him in the mikveh, it's very questionable. The Pashto says Melchama. Melchama L'shem Melchama means a Chovas HaTzibur with a Melech. If you don't have a Melech leading an army, that's what Oneg Yontif says. It's only if you have a Melech, that's what has to be in that order. We don't have any Melech at all now. So it's what shach to say Melchama. The Pashto says that the story is not correct and the din is not correct. The din only applies... that din, if you bump into one of the Zaynumis, it only applies by the Zaynumis Achrim Tachrimim. It doesn't apply to Amalekim. Amalekim is a Chovas Melchama. When Shaul HaMelech says, Ki Avarti Es Pi Hashem Ve'Es Devarecho, what are the two things Avarti Pi Hashem Ve'Es Devarecho? I remember when I was in high school, the Rebbe suggested a pshat, the Tanoim Hava Machlokes in the Mechilta, the end of Parshas Bishalach, regarding Mechias HaMolek, whether the din to kill the behemoth that Shaul HaMelech was told by Shmuel HaNavi, he should kill all the behemoths also, was that a Hayruah Shoah or is that a din L'doris? So I remember the Rebbe suggested, maybe that's only a Hayruah Shoah. Maybe the din L'doris only applies to killing the people of HaMolek, not the behemoths. And on this occasion, because he didn't kill Agag, So he violated the din l'daris, and he didn't kill the behemoth, so he violated the Hayra Shah, Hayra Divrei Novi. So the two Lashonis that is said, Avarti as Pi Hashem, the Ezdevarecha, I mean, I violated the mitzvah, the daris of not killing Agag, he's from the people. The Ezdevarecha, I was Hayra Divrei Novi, I didn't kill all the behemoths. That's how the Rebbe suggests. That whenever something is only Hayra Shah, that's called Hayra Divrei Novi. If a person violates, that's what the Minchas Chinuch asks. If Eibal Divrei Novi is Chai Misa B'dei Shemaim, so whoever violates any din in the Torah is Eibal Divrei Novi, because Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that different terutzim were given. So Rav Soloveitchik suggested a teretz 80-90 years ago, and that's the accepted teretz that everybody assumes. Eibal Divrei Novi is only if it's a Hayra Shah. Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi, so some of the things that he said were Hayra Shah, not to leave over the month till the morning. And everybody should knock on the next door neighbor's doors before it's Yitzias Mitzrayim and ask for matanas. Those are Hayra Shah. So whoever would violate the tzivui of Moshe Rabbeinu regarding the Hayra Shah would talk b'chai misa b'dei shemayim. But whenever Moshe Rabbeinu said, don't miss my kriyas shema and make kiddush on Shabbos and don't be machal Shabbos, that's a din l'doris. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu was an Ovi, but that was not b'toris nevuah, that was b'toris Torah. So here, Shaul HaMelech says, Vidi, avarti es pi Hashem, I violated the din d'oraisa, I didn't kill Agag. I violated the Hayra Shah, that I left the behemoth alive. They quote in the name of Rav Elbel Soloveitchik, Psagroisa Chiddush, that the chiyuv to wipe out Amalek, the men and the women, that's only Losid Lovoi. The chiyuv to wipe out Amalek now is only the men. You don't have to wipe out the women. That's a I don't know. Sounds to me a big Kiddush. I don't know. They don't quote any sources for that. I thought that was very surprising. The Gemara has a comment on the Pasuk, Vayorev Banochal. When Shmuel HaNavi gave the Nevuah to Shaul HaMelech that he has to wipe out Amalek, so the Pasuk says in Haftarah, Vayorev Banochal, what does it mean? That he started the battle in the valley, Banochal. So the Gemara has an additional level of interpretation. The Gemara says there's a din if you find a Jew murdered in Eretz Yisrael, you don't know who the murderer was, so you have to bring an egla rufa as a kapora. All of Klal Yisrael needs a kapora for this murder, and then you bring the egla rufa to Nachal Eisan. So Vayor Banachal means that Shaul HaMelech was arguing with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that it's not fair that if one Jewish life is lost, one Jew was murdered, so you have to bring an egla rufa, everybody needs a kapor, you have to try to find who the murderer is. Hey, you want me to wipe out a whole nation? They're all innocent people, they didn't bother us. Maybe their ancestors started up at Bnei Yisrael when they left Mitzrayim. But what are they guilty of? Ayorah Banachal, he was making a kavachimer from the din of Nachal Eisan. Only one person was murdered, and the Torah makes such a fuss about it. So how can you not have rachmanis on a whole nation? Genocide. It's genocide. So the Gemara says, "Kol hamerachem al ha'achzorim lebesof nasa achzori al harachmanim," because his priorities were mixed up. He shouldn't have had rachmanis on Amalek over here. If the Rebbeinu Shlom said you have to wipe out Amalek, Rebbeinu Shlom is a rachman, and the Rebbeinu Shlom said we should wipe out Amalek. The one who has distorted priorities. So everything is going to be distorted. Later on, Shaul HaMelech wiped out Novir HaKoinim because he was so angry why they were protecting David. The Torah is a just Torah, and if the Rebbeinu Shel Olam who created human life is the one who told us we have to wipe out Amalek, so that's it. So you can't argue a Kavachimer. That it's a genocide, that it's not fair. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam knows what he's doing. There's a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek. We assume the mitzvah has not yet been fulfilled. We assume that La'asei Lo, this mitzvah will be fulfilled, and then it'll be V'hoy Hashem Echad
U'Shmo Echad. This, like, I guess, passive role of Shaul that the Gemara should have expected of him. What room is there for Avraham Avinu to say, like, "Osei Mishpat La'asei Mishpat"? Like, Avraham seems to say that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam could sometimes be. You know, if a dog gets off and he responds, so why couldn't Shaul happen to be wrong? We know, but it was Shaul's action itself through that lens particularly negative, his values are off, or is he similar to...
I don't know. It's a very good question. I don't know. Here he's instructed specifically he should wipe out everyone from Amalek with the behemoths also. He was instructed specifically. There the Malachim said they're going to wipe out the cities. So he didn't hear from the Rabbanu Shel Olam. I don't know. It's a very good question. Okay, one of these days we got to get back to Baba Kama. So what's the story tomorrow? When is the midterm? Anybody know? What time is Shatov Matzlachas?
10 o'clock.
So usually Shir on Thursday is tomorrow's Thursday.
Tomorrow's Thursday.
So Shir is usually at what time?
10:45.
So 45 minutes is enough.
Should we have an hour early?
Is it an easy thing?
I think it's easy. I don't remember. I think it's easy. I have to look again. But
how does the thing on Parshas Vayikra, Parshas Zachor?
Shmini tomorrow.
What do you say?
Shmini tomorrow.
We'll do?
Shmini.
Shmini, not a bad idea. Okay. We'll have to figure out what we're going to do. Okay. Okay.
Is Rebbe hosting dinner for the Shabbos?
I think reading in the yeshiva. Oh,
okay.
I think they want all the rabbis who are speaking to the yeshiva.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
Good in Shabbos, you too. Good in Shabbos.